Greetings, kindred witches, curious listeners, and new practitioners to the craft. Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. Here, I share my experience as I build a modern-day, inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, the celestial cycles, and the science of energy. Join me as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works towards building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us. Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. This podcast is recorded on the homeland of the Duwamish people, and more broadly, the Coast Salish people, as well as many other indigenous tribes that make their home here in the Pacific Northwest, past, present, and future. As a spiritual being and steward of this land that I call home, I feel honored with the responsibility of caring for this piece of our planet. The Atomic Witchcraft team participates in Real Rent Duwamish as a way to compensate for the land that was stolen through violence and broken land treaties. I encourage you to look into and participate in Real Rent programs that support indigenous communities in your area. Please take a moment to join me in honoring the original stewards of the land on which you are residing, and a moment of gratitude for the earth itself and the bounty it provides. Please join me in words that work for you. To the ancestors that hold this ground, and for those spirits yet to come, may you fill me with guidance as I learn my place as a steward of this land and its creatures. In the gift of this role, I hold gratitude for all that surrounds me, for the water which cleanses me, for the earth's fruit which nourishes me, for the air that breathes life, for the fire that warms as it burns, and for the divine cosmos within. I am a child of the universe, at one with the trees and the stars. May the tides of the moon fill me with silver and the sunbeams tint me in gold. From light to dark, from birth to death, spring to winter, new moon to full, and back again. It is a beautiful world, one worth protecting. This I will, as within, so without, as above, so below, as I am, so mote it be. Good moon, witches, and welcome to our hearth. The liminal full moon graced our skies these past few days, a heightened energy at a time when the seasons are in full shift, a space of change and movement, the tipping point, like crossing through the hedge. These times are what we call liminal in their movement. And because of this movement of energy, there is a thinning between this world and the next. With this comes great sources of potential. It's a great time to set personal goals or pause in self-reflection. This thinning boundary is also ripe for the art of divination, a moment to reach across the veil and explore alternate potentials. In the southern hemisphere, the spring air is settling in and the shift gift towards summer days has begun to make itself more clear. This liminal time is often one of growth, joy, commitment. There is a finding and planting energy abuzz in the air of May Day, a great time to work with familiars, fae, or even kindred on the boundary between their plane and the next. If you're looking to build or start a new relationship, this is a great time to leave offerings, notes, and presents as a way to breach between worlds. In the northern hemisphere, the bite of fall is kicking in. Here in the Pacific Northwest, it's the harsh bite of frost already in the air. These swift changes of energy stir the boundaries between our energetic plane and the next. The timelines, realities, and paradigms that walk alongside us become easier to access, easier to step into. Moving from a full moon into a new moon, it will be a time of release, and doubly potent here in the northern hemisphere. This is a time to pause in reflection of the past season and celebrate your wins and mourn the losses. Lunar tides be with you. All Spirits' Eve, a time of magic and mystery, a time of release and intention, a time to celebrate the harvest of the year and honor the dead, often by sharing the bounty and celebration across the veils. This is the point where we enter and embrace the dark half of the wheel of the year. It is a time of necessary loss, when plants wither and return to the earth, so that when the light returns, life can spring anew. So it goes, and so it has always been, neither good or bad, but both serving as different sides to the same coin. As we talked about last Haven, the dark gives us a chance to pause, retreat inward, reflect, and release. It is a space in which creation can happen, where growth takes its first steps, and where magic blossoms. This is the point of year when barriers wane and we experience magic a little more deeply. It is said that during these liminal turns of the moon that the veil between this world and the next, between ourselves and which, is at its thinnest, allowing us access to these world's energies and magics. Cultures around the world celebrate All Spirits in various ways, All Hallows, the Day of the Dead, and more, many involving celebrations and meals, ancestral altars, and ways to honor the deceased. I encourage you to look at specific cultures and learn more about their beliefs around this time. I'm always amazed and delighted at the amount of overlap between traditions that span the globe and human history. Clearly, we feel a connection to the liminal during this season. The veil's thinning, which happens twice a year at the tipping points, when day overshadows night at May Day, and when night claims the sky during All Spirits. This is not a balance like the equinox, but the downhill slide into the next solstice. Some witches like to stick to very specific days for these, but I actually prefer to use a complete moon cycle to observe, meaning it's not limited to one day, but rather full moon to full moon, and or some years new moon to new moon, whichever makes more sense on the calendar. With this, different phases of the moon cycle can offer different perspectives along the veil. As a time of release, I may pair a liminal walk with some reflection work during the new moon, or seeking new information via divination during the growing first quarter. Maybe even some release work during the last quarter. And I generally use my full moon for an All Spirits sort of celebration, sometimes even splitting that and a traditional American Halloween, depending on the calendar. Ah yes, the joys and flexibility of walking our own paths. Like the liminal, I spend this night dancing between the physical and spiritual. From enjoying the pleasures of good food and music, the joys of the body, to walking the veil and inviting the spirits to share their stories and conversation. By celebrating, we conjure the spirits to this world. By honoring, we give space to hear their wisdom. This makes for an evening mixed with celebration and solemnity. Each witch will need to find their own path here, a balance that strikes a chord for you. For me, this dance begins at sunset at my altar, reinforcing my protective shields and lighting the candle that will see me through the dark season. I set the space for those lost this year, or my more familiar dead, ones that I honor every year. These might be people I have known, but it might also include ancestors, idols, or appropriate deity work as well. I spend a moment here, reflecting on my year and the achievements and the losses of all kinds. A preparation for the shedding and taking place to allow my feelings to move through my body. There is great transformation that happens when we process our emotions, and we can tap into that. I also take a moment here to connect to my astral home and set the space and shields there as well. This might echo what I'm doing on the physical with some added flair of imagination, because why not? I often take a moment on the astral plane to send out invitation to those spirits I would like to invite to my celebration, an astral messenger calling to the dead. Then, I spend a few hours enjoying the tradition of trick-or-treating by providing creatively costumed kids with way too much candy. I turn on music, moving my body to the season, good food and a delicious brew, pleasantly lit spaces, dancing, singing, anything that feels like a ghoulishly good time. It's about reminding us about why we are alive, the things we are grateful for from the year, the warm hug of memories before hibernation and the healing that is to come. And when the porch light goes off, I let the party vibe reach its culmination with an invitation for the spirits to join me in the liminal. For this, a dark space and a reflective surface are my tools. I happen to have a black scrying mirror that I acquired many years ago, and it's a lovely surface for this. However, a mirror or even a bowl of water, any reflective surface will do. I find myself a dark space. A single seasonal candle is a guiding light, setting a liminal space, not one in complete darkness, but one with shadow and light. I allow my mind and eyes to shift into the spaces in between. I put myself again in my astral home, while also keeping my eyes focused on the reflective surface, allowing the spirits to come knocking on the door to my astral hearth. One by one, I greet them. Images gathering and the reflections conjure the spirit to the space, and yet it's always an imageless energy that joins me at the liminal hearth for a time. Each energy unique and of its own, each conversation lasting a lifetime and gone in a breath. For me, it's about being open here, allowing the feelings and wisdom to wash through me, both theirs and mine. And just as one sets to depart, another comes knocking, a night of revolving doors and spirits. Some years, I invite fewer guests. Others, it's a full-out party in my astral home. Ancestors, spirits, fae, kindred, familiars of all kinds joining in this wheel-turn celebration. The balance depends on the year, and honestly, is always dependent on my energy levels. I tend to greatly feel the impact of conjuring through the veil, and you may as well. So if it's your first venture, consider keeping it small. The tone and vibe also shift, sometimes within the eve itself, starting as a gathering and dwindling to sitting by the fire engrossed in time and memories with some of my favorite spirits, a way to remember and give life to the deceased. The night ends with a farewell meditation, one that concludes the invitation and closes the door, like closing time at the local pub. It begins with fond farewells and promises to meet again, tidying up the astral home and returning it to a neutral state, before shifting back into the physical. It's important here to ground any excess energy and to gently renew any protection wards or circles in place, including shields. It is also the beginning of my seasonal nightly practice of keeping a candle lit at night. Now, fire safety abounds, so thank goodness for modern miracles of battery-operated candles. This symbolic candle stays lit at night until May Day, when the sun takes its place. Now, many will warn about working through and walking the veil unprotected, and yes, the changing energy tides that come with shifting seasons definitely stir things up a bit. And inviting others into your astral space shouldn't come without some protection. So, that being said, always stay within your comfort levels here, and create rituals around All Spirits Eve that align with your path. Some witches are more comfortable working in the liminal than others, just as some are more comfortable with shadow work, grief, and death magics. If you decide to delve into the darker parts of the wood, I always recommend using personal shields or conjuring a circle of protection. Different witches use different methods, and this is really about defense magics that work best for you. I like to work with shields and circles, shields to protect myself personally, and circles to create a very specific energetic space, and magical guidelines for guests, so to speak. It keeps the disgruntled uncle spirit at bay, and even if you didn't invite him. Even taking these steps, be prepared to feel a little bit drained, which means be ready with food, water, and some rest. But also be aware of any excess energy that sort of lingers. You will want to work through that quickly. Movement often helps, so does eating, or if you need to, let the energy manifest as emotions and process them that way. It is worth mentioning that some witches decide to carry the invitation into their dreams. I warn about unpracticed lucid dreaming during liminal times, so be cautious here and make sure you're caring for yourself deeply. That energy can get trapped in the body and be harder to work through, causing random ailments and issues with things running amok. I also want to note that I speak above to a specific type of divination called scrying. That requires a bit of practice. In this divination style, the goal is to work from the liminal, meaning you are often in a lucid state, whether deep meditation and focus or even dreaming. The idea is to superimpose the astral and the physical, or other planes once you get your feet under you. Now, the All Spirits reflection activity I mentioned earlier can definitely be done with simple eyes closed, but when conjuring spirits via their reflection, you will need to lean into intuition and memory and a little bit of gut sense a bit, since you aren't overlaying the liminal. The ability to be present in both spaces is a trick of practice and is just one common type of scrying technique. Truly, you could incorporate any divination practice that works for you into your celebration. You want something you're comfortable with. What I described above is one of many ways to approach celebrating All Spirits, one that focuses on a solo activity. However, many groups offer more elaborate community events, complete with beautifully lit walking paths as they combine the physical and liminal in magical ways. These group gatherings can offer ways to honor the deceased, whether via altars or vocal calls, a way to lean into community to both celebrate and honor the season of passing. In honor of All Spirits today, I'd like to wrap with a moment of reflection on our year, and a moment to honor those and that which we may have lost. So I invite you to go ahead and close your eyes and, or whatever's comfortable for you, and reflect a moment. Thinking back to May Day, what challenges have you faced since then? What have you overcome? What growth and celebration? What triumphs and losses? And whose spirits will you invite to meet you at the veil? All spirits be with you. Welcome back, everyone. Alyssa here with Witch in Action, in which I share some tips on ways that you can integrate mindful living into your practice and how to make a positive impact on the world around you. Now, the suggestions I make may not suit everybody or every body. I acknowledge that everyone has their journey, and sometimes certain things may not suit that journey. It's not about perfection. It's about just doing a little bit better and allowing grace for those who are unable to. Halloween is genuinely my favorite holiday. It has been since I was a little kid, running around in my newest costume, trick-or-treating, and eating as much candy as possible in one night. Now that I'm the one behind the door passing out treats, I've done my best to bring some sustainable practices into this night of mischief and fun. There's just something so cozy feeling about carving pumpkins this time of year. Maybe because it's rooted in an old tradition, or maybe it's just because I have a thing for pumpkins. But there's nothing like a well-carved jack-o'-lantern to light the dark night. But sadly, over 1 million pounds of pumpkin waste ends up in landfill this time of year. Instead of throwing old Jack in the trash, you could compost him instead. Or reach out to any local farms, sanctuaries, etc., and see if they'll take your used-up pumpkin to feed their animals. And of course, I always recommend roasting those seeds you scoop out. They're super tasty with a little salt, a little pepper. Mwah. While we're on the subject of decor, I'd like to address those stretchy, cotton-like spiderweb decorations. I highly recommend you avoid using this material outdoors. It is really difficult to clean it all up at the end of the season, meaning some of that inorganic material gets left wrapped up in your bushes. It also creates a hazard for birds and small critters. They can get tangled up in the webbing and end up injuring themselves trying to get free. This is the reason I also avoid using material like fishing line outside, just way too much of a tangle hazard. Now, I love dressing up for Halloween. It's honestly gotta be one of my favorite aspects. But what I don't love is how much fast fashion plays into this tradition. The Halloween costumes that you find at those pop-up seasonal stores are mass-produced using plastic-based materials and are only built to last just the season. The designs also often reflect what's popular any given year, meaning that once the season is over, millions of costumes just get tossed into landfill. I recommend being a little creative and sourcing your costume pieces from secondhand stores, your own wardrobe, or borrow pieces from friends and family. You can have all the fun of dressing up without the environmental impact. The tradition of trick-or-treating is one that brings me great joy, both for when I was a kid and now as the one passing out candy. This is the one aspect of Halloween I have yet to find a way to make more sustainable. I wish that we lived in a world where homemade treats can be passed out to reduce waste, but we just aren't there. I do my part by recycling my candy wrappers through special programs and ensuring nothing goes in the trash, but at the end of the day, my priority is for the kids who come to my door to have fun and to get something they enjoy. I try to be mindful in other ways, though. I often offer up a mix of treats and toys so that even kids with diabetes or allergies can get something fun.
I'm also mindful of the fact that not every kid is going to interact with trick-or-treat experience the same way. Some kids may be on the spectrum, nonverbal, or just painfully shy. So I do my part in holding space for everyone so that a good time can be had by all. What are some ways that you can approach Halloween mindfully?
Hey, Kindred Witches, thank you for bringing your magic to this grove and gathering here at the Atomic Hearth for today's Sunday Haven.
We look forward to coming together for our next Sunday Haven, currently planned for Sunday, November 12th, just around the new moon.
And as always, what makes Atomic Witchcraft thrive is all of you. So please join us again, engage us with your questions and thoughts anytime, and consider tossing a coin to your witches if you're able. The QR code here takes you to our Patreon. Up next is our Grove community and crafting time. Stay if you want, leave if you need. We'd love to have you.
As we wrap today, the team at Atomic Witchcraft thanks you for listening. We are looking forward to exploring this new path with you and would love to connect via social media or Patreon. Linktree is in the bios. Access is always free, and we work to harbor a safe hearth for all. As above, so below. As within, so without. As we end, so we begin.